Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, New York City launches an effort to vaccinate all the workers in the theater district. The former president's hotels get dumped by a major booking group, and a Southwest pilot has a rant on an open mic that probably won't end well for him. Details next in the travel news.
Stadiums, theaters, spring and summer festivals, cruise ships in a crowded hotel elevator, restaurants, all these things are part of our lifestyle. Now, for travel to come back, these things have to be safe. We address the issue in our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20.
Life in Hawaii has gotten better for tourists and for those who serve them. Our old friend Will Lydgate, a chocolate farmer on Kauai, joins us at 3:35 to share an update.
Passenger counts at airports are on the rise, and we'll check in with Sid Hanna from TSA in Sacramento coming up at 3:50.
Thank you for making us part of your journey today. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north. The rush is on.
To another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by locally sourced sports, leisure, vacations, I might add.
Locally sourced.
Anyway, you like that, locally sourced? Yeah. I don't know what that means. By the way, the Easter Egg Express, I understand, is happening with the Fox train, if you're going to get out. What a difference a year makes, Mark. A year ago at this time, it was kind of like everything was headed downhill.
Yeah.
And now I feel so good that everything is... headed downhill in a good way for
a
change.
to make a sports analogy, we're on the 5-yard line and it's first and goal, and we feel like that the touchdown is right there. But you know, I've watched a lot of football games and seen a lot of bad things happen to teams that were first and goal on the 5-yard line. So I figure as long as the people in Texas and the spring breakers in Florida stay there, and you know, the Newton's law kind of takes care of that whole situation, then we should be all right. But I will tell you the charts that from the last, you know, week to 10 days, which the spring breakers have been down there that long, do not show any surge yet in the infections in Florida. It could be. Now, remember, Florida is a state with a lot of folks who are retired. So if those... The more people, you know, the doctors have said, the more people you eliminate from the pool who are more infectable, the less places that the virus has to go. So maybe we're just, you know, as there are fewer places for it to go, maybe it just has to settle in for the summer or something. I don't know. Get a deck chair and take 6 months off. We'll get back to you in the winter.
Is there any reason why I've been getting an extraordinary number of it's addressed to either – you know, current resident, or in a lot of cases, to my wife. Mm-hmm. And they're from, like, Viking Cruise Lines, American Cruise Line, all of these cruise companies, they're just coming out of the woodwork like never before.
Well, the signal has kind of been given that if you are willing to travel safely, that it's possible to travel now. And, I mean, if you're willing to put on a mask and put up with some inconveniences and things aren't exactly the same, you know, the breakfast at the hotel may not be exactly what you hoped it would be. And there may be some minor inconveniences. But if you're willing to do that, then you can travel safely. If you're not willing to do those things and you have to wait a while, you want to, you know, piss and moan and complain about them, why, then you're going to have to wait a little while longer to be able to travel. But I think, don't you sense that it's that way with everything? There are a lot more people moving around the last few days. Traffic at certain times of the day has returned to just about what it was a year ago before this all started. So when this is all over, we're all going to look back on it and say, wow, you know, that was amazing. There was, like, you know, the people who live in Hawaii, like, there was no traffic for, like, 8-10 months on those outside islands with, you know, Kauai and the big island and Maui. They've only certain number of roads, and X number of rental cars, you can only get over them so quickly. You take those rental cars out, it's a lot easier to get around. Of course, it's a lot easier to get around when nobody has to go to work every day either. So works both ways.
So what's the latest with Sports Leisure Vacations? Anything you need to share with us?
No, nothing really. People are getting ready to travel, and it's pretty much like I just summed up. The people who are the most willing to make some compromises are going to go first, and the rest of the people are going to wait a little while and then get back on the road. But for those who like to travel, whatever it is you like to do, watch baseball games, travel, anything that involves being with other people, you probably are missing it at this point. You probably can't wait for the opportunity to get back and do it again. So that's what I hope. That's what seems to be happening with a lot of our travelers. A lot of the trips that we're offering are filling up quite quickly. We have a really limited schedule for a few months because of the fact that, in our opinion, we'd rather stay close to home and be in situations where we have a little bit more control until things get a little bit safer all over.
Well, if you would like to follow along with the program and get links to our special guests coming up here on today's program, and, of course, be able to access podcasts of past shows, you can do that at TravelGuysRadio.com. And at the top of every Travel Guys Radio show, we bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. And with the travel news, here's Mark.
So, if you're flying an airplane, and you're flying into, you know, let's say, San Francisco,
okay,
and you're on an open microphone, which is being recorded, you know, and God knows who else can hear it. I mean, my father was a air traffic controller for many years, and when I was a little kid, I used to sit in the tower and listen to some of the things that were said. Back in those days, pilots frequently used multiple-syllable hyphenated words to describe various situations, which, you know, most of which I had never heard before. Anyways, This gentleman, I'll use that term loosely, was piloting a Southwest airline coming into San Francisco, and he decided to start complaining about San Francisco, about the weather, and about the people who live there, and he used the F-bomb quite liberally, and it was GD this and GD that and liberal everything, and he just, I mean, he barred no. You can find the whole thing online. But anyways, Southwest says that it's a shame that one person doesn't represent the views of all the people in the company, which is a good thing because my guess is that this gentleman is going to get a spanking, probably a pretty good spanking. That's my guess. He's probably going to be grounded, literally, for a little while. That would be my guess, and maybe be given some training in what to say and what not to say. We mentioned in the headlines, our former president was dumped by Virtuoso, which is it's a high-end consortium of travel agencies, and so they tend to have clients that prefer luxury products and the like. Too much negative pushback from their clients, and so Virtuoso, who is really, for those who are listening who are in the travel industry, they'll recognize that name right away, has decided that they no longer are going to sell his hotels. Meanwhile, the former president's gold-plated Boeing 757, the one emblazoned with his name when he had the airline shuttle, is literally rotting away at Newburgh Stewart Airport in New York State. So, anyways, New York City launches an effort to vaccinate Broadway workers. Yay! This means that Broadway is going to reopen sometime in the foreseeable future. September is the target date. There are whispers that one or two shows might try to open in late July. Obviously, there's a lot of things have to be done here, but the first thing that has to be done is to vaccinate all the workers and all the actors and all the people who pulled the curtain and all that kind of stuff. So that is going to go on in the next few weeks because rehearsals and things will have to start for shows that are going to go on the air before too long. Here's an interesting story. Airline security catches travelers smuggling gold under wigs. Yes. Gold. Okay. Two men tried to, they were arrested at an airport in India. A security officer found $400,000 in gold hidden under their wigs and in other body orifices that you can't mention on family programs. Yeah. So it's just, you know, that metal comes up no matter where you put it. It pretty much shows up on the X-ray.
I wonder, I wonder what form the gold was in to be able to fit under your wig. And as you said, that other stuff.
It says here it was gold paste packets.
Okay.
So the gold was turned into a paste, which I've seen that done before. It weighed a pound and a half. The packets were reportedly glued to the suspects' heads. And then they had gold and cash and other items hidden in their socks and other places on your body that you normally wouldn't hide things. Unless you were really trying to make sure that they didn't show up. Frontier Airlines is debuting new seats on their airplanes. They're bragging about them. New, lighter seats. Going to save them a lot of money because they don't have to put as much weight in the air. You know what that means? You know what lighter seats actually means? Less padding.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it really means, is that, and if you look at these seats, you can see that it's pretty much like cardboard on top of plywood. So good luck with that if you fly Frontier Airlines.
Bring a cushion.
Bring a cushion, but be careful because the seats are pretty close to each other, so the cushion might not be room for you in the cushion. Pressure is on the current president to address the whole cruise issue. The cruise lines are getting antsy. They really want to get back in the water. The ports that are involved, particularly in Florida, the governor in Florida, Ron DeSantis, is kind of fed up with the federal government and the Centers for Disease Control's lack of action. They want to see these ships back in the water, of course, because it's big business for the two port cities of Fort Lauderdale and Miami. Of course, some cruise lines tried to start up in the fall, limited activity and operations, and found that they had to come back to shore because somebody on the ship got infected and then they blew the whole thing. So we'll see what happens, but the cruise lines are lobbying strongly. So I would say that we're going to see some kind of an update on that in the next week or two. And this is kind of interesting. We told you back in November that the folks in Key West voted to limit the number of cruise ships that could dock at their port. They limited the number of ships, the size of the ships. There was already a limit on the sunset there at Key West is a popular activity, watching the sunset in the evening. And so if a ship had not left, if it blocked the sunset, the fine was $5,000 for every minute the ship blocked the sunset.
Oh, my gosh.
So they had to get out of town. You know, they had to get the people back on board and get the ship backed out before the sun started to set. Anyway, they had 287 port calls scheduled for next year in Key West, 2022. Only 18 will meet the size criteria. The people in Key West are ecstatic about this because unless you're a vendor down by the dock. So we'll see what happens. The state government of Florida now is trying to overrule the local voters who voted this. The state government is saying, well, this takes an awful lot of money out of the state of Florida. And so, no, we're not going to do that. So we'll stay on this and see what happens. Florida lawmakers are expected to deliver legislation to the governor's desk in the next few weeks. My guess is that the folks in Key West will hire themselves a lawyer. Yes, sir.
So what's the fine for blocking an entire water passage with your cargo ship? You ever get that cargo ship moved, or is it still stuck there?
It's still stuck there.
It's affecting the stock market, you know.
Well, it's a very big ship, and it's very heavy. So if they decide to unload it, they're going to have to be very careful, because the only thing worse than an upright ship stuck in the Suez Canal would be a sideways ship stuck on its side in the Suez Canal. And that ship has a lot of weight on it. So I don't pity those folks. They've got to figure out something, obviously. But, if you had a Suez Canal cruise, why, you're probably not going through there anytime soon.
Film at 11.
Yeah, film at 11. Oregon Tourism, Oregon Travel Oregon is investing millions of dollars to support the tourism industry. They are giving grants to lots of small vendors in the state to try to help them get their operations restarted for the summertime, in hopes that tourism will be back. And if I have anything to say about it, I'm taking a couple groups of people to Oregon, one of my favorite destinations. That is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. After a short time out, we're going to talk about what it's going to take to get travel to come back the way we know it, safe and the way you're going to want it. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
Mark and Tom here, The Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, TravelGuysRadio.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's time for Just One Man's Opinion.
It's been a long 12 months for just about every nonprofit, charitable, depends on the public for funding and or support organization. Clubs and organizations have struggled because even basic things like holding or attending meetings has been an issue. Now travel and many other aspects of life are coming back, albeit reinvented in many ways. Restaurant buffets are pretty much gone. You still don't know if your included breakfast at the hotel will happen in the morning or what it will look like. Most clubs have yet to resume in-person meetings. First restaurants, now theaters and ballparks and conventions, are busy figuring out how to seat patrons, how to get them in and out of the building even. Maybe your favorite charitable organization fell off your radar last year, or maybe you gave them a donation and hoped it would see them through to the other side. Most charitable events and fundraisers never got off the ground in 2020. Some have now been impacted for a second year in a row. As we approach the other side of COVID, your favorite arts group is going to need your dollars, your patronage at events, and your help in organizing and executing those events to survive and get pointed back in the direction of their mission. Broadway and all the other venues will be back, but only with your support. It's a great chance for a renewal of your personal spirit, and it might help restore some of the sense of community that has been taken away from us over the last year. Of course, that is just one man's opinion.
Well, Mark, we are only days away from the start of the baseball season. I know
a lot of
folks that are just so excited to see it come back. People I know have already gotten tickets to go to a game or two. What's going on? How difficult is it going to be to get tickets? And are the Giants and the A's, which are our local team, and the Rivercats, what do you know about the opportunity to get tickets?
The Rivercats are going to start a month later. And their spring training normally would overlap with the major league spring training, but this year it's not. Their spring training will start next week when the major league teams head back to their respective cities. So the Giants have started selling tickets. They've sold them. They're going to sell them a month at a time for now. So they've sold them April to their season ticket holders. Anything that is left next week will go on sale in order to group people like myself and folks who have bought vouchers to move up in line and various other people who have attained a spot in line, and they'll go through all of that, and they'll do that every month, at least for now. That's their plan. What will be left after the season ticket holders get done is anybody's guess. The Giants have about 23,000 season ticket holders on some level. They're going to let about 9,000 people into the stadium. So we'll just have to see what is left. It might be easier to get a ticket to a Giants or A's game in April because the weather isn't as good in the evenings in the Bay Area, particularly in April, perhaps early May. The A's tickets will be a little bit easier because there isn't as much demand, but same thing. They're planning on letting about 8,500 people, is what I heard, into their ballpark. So you'll have the opportunity to buy tickets. Of course, my company has taken people to baseball games in Oakland and San Francisco for many years, and we've had conversations with the teams, and we will find out next week where we stand, at least for the opening tranche of tickets. Ironically, I'm heading up to Seattle next week with another staff member, and we have snared some tickets to see the Giants in Seattle. We had hoped to take a bunch of people up there for the opening of the season, but didn't work out that way. But anyways, at least those things are going to get going. Broadway theaters last week talked about opening up in September. The whisper, of course, is that some shows might get off the ground in July. They've got to test all of those people, and that's a tremendous amount of work, but it looks like that the process now is starting. So if you are one of those people who is, you know, waiting for one of these things to start back up, so you could go someplace, for example, you know, we've talked about airline travel vouchers, and how a lot of those are about to expire. Remember our wisdom on that. If you've got an airline voucher that's about to expire that you can't use, contact the airline before the voucher expires. Just tell them that, you know, you, with COVID, you haven't been able to travel. You'd appreciate a courtesy extension. I would ask for a year, probably accept 6 months. Most people have had success when approaching that with courtesy and decency at that time. One other thing I want to mention to you. This is something that's kind of come up here in the last few months. Some folks are trying to avoid hotels, and for them, Airbnb is looking a little bit better. If you are booking an Airbnb or anything that is a home share, apartment share, anything like that, and the host comes to you and says, you know, hey, listen, you know, you've booked this and everything, but we really don't, if you're staying here, don't tell the neighbors that, you know, this is Airbnb. Just tell them that you're friends and you're staying for the weekend. Or instead of paying it the way that it, that they said to pay it, send the money to this place or send, tell you what, I'll give you a break if you'll just pay it in this way, or if you'll send gift cards instead of paying for it. Never, ever, ever. Any of those things are a huge red flag. And remember, if you do something like that, you are likely violating the terms of your contract. And if something goes wrong, the eBay people are not going to help you, nor is anybody else. So just kind of keep that in mind. Anytime you're in one of those situations where it's a mutual trust thing, that red flag goes up. Why? It's time to get on down the road, really and truly.
All right, coming up after a news break here in about 3 minutes, life in Hawaii has gotten better for tourists and for those who serve them. We're joined with Will Lingate, chocolate farmer in Kauai. Stick around, we're going to talk chocolate and a happy, happy Will as things open up in Kauai. Next on The Travel Guys. Hello again, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's been a while since we checked in over in Hawaii and see what's going on. Mark, we got Will back with us here to find out how things are on Kauai.
Will Lidgate is joining us. Will produces chocolate on the island of Kauai. Will, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Aloha, Mark, Tom. Great to be here and happy to chat with everyone.
Hey, we haven't talked to folks over in the islands for a few months there, particularly on Kauai, one of my favorite destinations, and your home, not to mention the fact that your business is there. So how is tourism on Kauai? You guys have, you know, it's been start and stop and fits and all kinds of stuff. So give it to us right from the front line.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say things feel like they're looking up and trending up since last time we talked, and was that summer? I don't remember. We have something in all of the islands called the Safe Travels Program, which appears to have been pretty effective. Cases are really low for COVID, some of the lowest in the nation. And then Kauai had, our island had an extra layer. There was a bubble. Resort system, enhanced movement quarantine, where you'd stay at a resort for 3 days and you could test out. You take a test. If you test clear, you test out. You know, they weren't getting a single person with COVID on that second test. And I think eventually the business community was just like, okay, guys, you know, there's no cases really to speak of on Oahu, which has a million people. We have zero cases on this island. No one's getting it on the test out. You know, at some point, and we've got most of our kupuna, our elderly people, have the vaccine at this point. So it sort of changes the conversation a little bit from the first part of the pandemic to more of, you know, a different risk category. So finally, Mayor Derek Kawakami said, you know, we're going to open back up to the Safe Travels program on April 5th, guys. So although as of now, it feels like things are picking up. And in a good place, we're doing tours. Our tours 3 days a week, you know, with modified numbers are almost sold out at this point. So that's nice. And they're very safe. And that's felt really fun. And we missed everybody. So mostly it's like, oh, thank God. You know, we love visitors. We love having them. You meet people from everywhere. And that's one of the great parts about this. So apparently, as of April 5th, every single vacation rental on the island is booked solid, and I think it's about to come back with a vengeance. They're saying 40% of travelers, that was last week, already have the vaccine. Everyone's got a pretest. So it feels right now to me like we're in a new normal. We're in a new category. It's safe. People are masked. People are distanced. We're in Hawaii where the air is humid. And we're outside. I've spent a lot of time outside here. So it just feels like we're moving into a new era. And let me tell you guys what I've been through emotionally, business-wise. Oh, yes, it's made me stronger. And I think made my team stronger, too, and bigger in a sense. But it really feels nice to be moving on. And, that's sort of the gist of it.
Wow, Will, don't be too passionate about this. this is a completely different Will than we spoke with a few months ago. You know, I mean, when you guys were about ready to, jump off a cliff over there. So that is so exciting to hear. And you mentioned that the residents are getting vaccinated as well. Has there been plenty of vaccine to go around? How's that going?
Yeah, no shortage. Our county is, very well managed. And Derek, despite, I think, being a little conservative with the opening dates for some of the folks in the business community, I think did a really good job. And most of the reason I think he wanted to stay closed was because he knew he had limited Department of Health worker hours. So I think instead of saying, hey, I'm going to spend all our time contact tracing, I'm going to spend all my Department of Health people chasing down visitors with one or two COVID cases or however many, five, six or seven. And then, if we move into a new tier, that means no outdoor soccer practice. And that's going to upset, obviously, a lot of voters. But why don't we take all those Department of Health people and have them all working on getting folks vaccinated? So we've all got the vaccines, everyone who wanted it, who's working in ag. I got it. My dad got it. We got the Moderna vaccine and it rolled out. I mean, I've had my second shot for over a month now. I think 6 weeks ago I had my second shot.
Well, you are a critical business, though. Essential.
Yeah, you're chocolate.
Yes,
I mean,
chocolate comes first.
Yeah. If there was a vote taken among people as to which businesses were the most important, I'm certain that the chocolate-making businesses would be somewhere in the top tier.
The turnip farmers or the chocolate farmers, you vote, you decide.
So what is the attitude among the people who are in tourism? Are they generally hopeful at this point? It kind of sounds like you have resumed some operations and some things are going, but I'm thinking about the housekeepers and the Uber drivers and all of the other people who depend on folks in order to make an income.
Almost everybody that I've talked to, with my own filter lens here that works in tourism is just can't wait for it to start again and sort of thinks it should have already started again. Many people who are retired or don't depend on tourism for their livelihood, are just like, hey, let's just shut it down until, the last case of COVID disappears, 20 years from now or whatever. And it's a two-edged sword, because as Hawaii residents, we depend on tourism, but also that it brings in people and that can lead to traffic. And even though certain beaches on this island are always empty and you can find those if you know who to ask, it does mean there's more people at Poipu and other places. So in a sense, this pandemic has brought us an old Hawaii. It feels like the Hawaii of the 70s or even in some cases, the Hawaii of the 20s. So because it's just empty, fewer people. So I think people are enjoying that. And some folks who have maybe a government job or something aren't affected by the pandemic are sort of like, let's keep it closed a little bit longer. This is pretty nice. I'm liking barbecuing every weekend, it feels like the 60s or whatever. And I think that there's a little bit of that, too. So it's complex.
Well, we will be there to visit you in November. We had hoped to come in May, but now we will be there in November. And an amazing thing happened about a week and a half ago. People woke up and say, where shall we go? And boom, our Hawaii tour, which is limited in number because we do some special things like coming up to see you. It limits our numbers to about 20 folks. But so we are looking at probably trying to add another departure in February. So there is still interest in the islands and we will be there on the Garden Island of Kauai before too long. Will, thanks for a few minutes of your time and a little bit of an update. Thanks, good. Will. Really appreciate your time again. We'll see you in November and talk to you before then.
Anytime. You guys take care. Aloha.
I vote for the chocolate farmer. And then the turnip farmer second in regards to, being
well, if you call it, you say, well, a chocolate farmer from Kauai, it kind of conjures up this image, which actually is an image of Will. I mean, he tends to look like a Hawaiian farmer, a farmer in Hawaiian clothing. And they've done all this chocolate. It was years after they started their farm before they produced chocolate. And somehow that became their major source of income. So no tours, no selling of chocolates. They've peddled chocolate online and stuff like that. But I guess the good news here is that Hawaii took kind of a different approach to this and tried to really keep COVID out of the islands. And a lot of people gave them a lot of grief about that. And they weren't very organized. And we gave them grief about that. But the bottom line is that it's worked for them. And they've been able to keep infections at a minimum, which considering they're out in the middle of the ocean is kind of a good thing for them. And they've been able to welcome visitors back, and for the businesses that have survived, they are reaching some form of normalcy in terms of the number of people who are over there, which also means that the traffic and other things are getting a little bit worse too. But Hawaii is back to being Hawaii, it sounds like, and that's a good thing.
There you go. I was thinking about what they were saying about Hawaii being like it used to be all the way back to the 20s, where you just had the residents and you didn't have a lot of travelers and visitors. And so sweet for the residents that aren't involved in the travel industry, and at the same time so disastrous for those that are. And yep. Because they wouldn't be able to survive without it anyway. Well, all right, I'm going to have to take a look and see if I can sneak away into one of those sports leisure vacation trips. I would pick February.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Who do we have? Speaking of travel, been a while since we talked to our friends at the TSA as to how things look at Terminal A and Terminal B. One of our buddies, Sid Hanna with the TSA, will be joining us after a short timeout, and we'll talk about it, see what things look like there out at Sacramento International Airport, right here on The Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Welcome. We are The Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Thanks for joining us. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's been a while since we've had our special guest from the TSA to join us here on the program. And fortunately, today we have Sid Hanna joining us to answer Mark's and Tom's questions, and hopefully there'll be some of yours as well. Sid, welcome back to The Travel Guys.
Thank you, thank you. It's good to be back with you guys and cover a new section, especially now that traffic is picking up here with after the vaccine shots and everything is starting to move again here at the airport.
Yeah, so now we've got a group of people who are feeling, pretty indestructible because they've had their shots. And we've got a group of people who felt indestructible all along because they really didn't want to wear a mask. And we've got a group of people who are being extra careful. So how are you meshing all these groups of people together? Can you still bring your own hand sanitizer? What else should we know, Sid, about what's going on to get through TSA and get through security at the airport?
Really, things have been consistently the same in a way. We've increased our masks at the checkpoint, so we constantly have extra masks. So if a passenger shows up and doesn't have a mask, we present them with one, so that way they have one to get through security. Our biggest focus is keeping everyone safe and our employees safe as well. So they have face masks on and the shield. They wear their gloves. They change out the gloves anytime they have to do any back checks or any pat downs. So it's no longer about the glove. Could last a couple back checks or a couple pat downs. It's once they do a single back check or a single pat down or anything of it, that glove comes off and they replace it. So we're making sure our employees do everything they can to keep themselves safe and then also keep the passengers safe by not transferring anything from one to another. So that's one of the biggest things. We do allow hand sanitizer still to come through. And so that hasn't really changed. And then the airport's constantly throughout the day keeping the lanes clean. We also do separation of lanes, so we try our best to open lanes apart from each other to improve the distance from passengers from being close together. We didn't have a lot of choice with Terminal A this holiday because of the construction that was going on there. But now that we have the full seven lanes, that's what we focus on, is separating of lanes when we possibly can.
Sid, now that people are vaccinated, a lot of them are, and as Mark mentioned, you get kind of a potpourri. But, you know, I'm feeling that as people, you know, start traveling that are double vaccinated, there may be people letting down their guards. Are people as cautious as they were early on or when the pandemic was at its worst?
It really hasn't changed much. Passengers still showed up with masks on. They're very understanding when we ask them to put one on if they do show up. We understand that the vaccines are helping, and we are noticing an increase in passenger traffic. We have to open up more lanes, and we have to have our officers throughout the airport. But in general, everybody's been very friendly and understanding, and it's been great. And we actually like that.
Sid, are you seeing, you mentioned traffic is picking up. I know the hotels and stuff are still complaining that there's nothing in the way of business traveler traffic. Just if you could stand over the TSA line for the day and see the people that are going through, you said more travelers are coming. What's the makeup of these travelers? Is it still pretty much leisure people and the folks who haven't seen grandma for a year? Is that what you're seeing?
That is correct. We are seeing more families, less of the pre-check passengers. Usually that gives us an idea of what kind of passengers we're seeing, and we're seeing less pre-checks, regular standard passengers, which shows that the pre-check passengers are usually our business travelers. They want to go through our checkpoints a little bit faster, and that's not happening yet. So it is the going to see mom and dad, going leisure travel, going to see family members. But still, the numbers are still going up, so that's still a positive sign.
Something has come to Sacramento that folks see in larger airports around the country. And tell us a little bit about CLEAR for the folks who really travel a lot and are looking for really an expedited experience, not only in Sacramento, but in other major airports, San Francisco, Denver, all of those.
CLEAR is done by another company outside of TSA. They have biometric equipment that you come right to the machine, and there's usually a representative there at all times. They help you through the process. You get verified through their system, and then they walk you right to the front to our document checker officer, and you go right straight ahead to the checkpoint.
It's probably not as big of a deal in Sacramento, but if you fly to other major airports in the country, I mean, if you've ever seen the security line in Las Vegas or Denver or Chicago on a bad day, then pre-check is a good answer. CLEAR, in many cases, is an even faster answer. It does cost a little bit more money. Now that it's available in Sacramento, why, it's obvious that what we need to do here is get somebody from CLEAR on our radio show.
Yeah, I saw CLEAR for the first time, oh gosh, four or five years ago in the San Antonio airport, and picked up a little card that they were handing out. And here again, not part of the TSA or the regular things that we're used to.
But you still got to get through the TSA at the end of the day. Sid, before we let you go here, anything else that we haven't touched on? Anything that you would like to get out to the listeners of this radio program?
I still recommend to anyone out there, no matter if it's for a day trip or a long trip, show up about an hour and a half before your scheduled flight. We're seeing the increase of flights, and sometimes they're not coming at the perfect time where people are used to coming in and things are a little bit slow. We're noticing the flights are getting closer and closer together, which is causing a little backup sometimes. But in general, I always tell people show up an hour and a half. Be prepared to wear a mask, especially with the mask mandate that we have to enforce through our checkpoint. It's good to see the family travel. That's a positive thing for us. That shows the confidence in the industry. It shows the confidence in the vaccines.
Speaking of families, tell our buddy Dale, who has just had a new addition to his family, why. Tell him we all said hi, and we look forward to talking to him again in a few weeks. Right now, he's probably got his hands full. Although, as you told us, it's not his first child, so maybe he's gotten into practice. But anyways, we'll look forward to talking to him. Thank you for your time, Sid. Sure, appreciate it. And anything that we can do, if you ever have any need to get the word out, why, please think of us.
You got it. Thank you so much. Yeah, it'd probably be very nice to talk in a few months once we see the summer traffic started to begin, and we'll see how things change here. But thank you guys, and congratulations again to Michelle and Dale for their new baby. And I look forward to talking to you guys soon. Thank you.
Well, there you go. That's the latest from the TSA out at Sacramento International Airport. Again, links at travelguysradio.com. Mark, I understand you got an update here Hawaii.
I do. I was just, I confess that since our interview with Sid was done the other day and I had a couple minutes here, I was looking at the news feed and I saw there's an update from Hawaii. You're going to be able to, they've been talking about this for a couple weeks, you'll now be able to pre-clear for Hawaii. You know, you have to have a test and within 3 days and all that kind of jazz, and you have to have the results before you leave. So why not just clear people so that when they get there, you'll check in at the Hawaiian Airlines or United or Southwest or whoever you're flying with to Hawaii, and they will check your documentation. And if it's correct, they will give you a wristband so that when you get to Hawaii, you will be able to just proceed through the airport like you normally would. So check with your airline for details, but it looks like Hawaiian, Southwest, and United are all set up to handle West Coast departures, so that will make getting going to Hawaii a little bit easier. You'll still have to have the test, of course, but at least you'll be able to, when you get to the island, you'll be able to hit the ground running.
Now, when you say if you're going to Hawaii, can you be more specific? Are we talking about to Honolulu, Hawaii, or to
any
Hawaii,
of the
Maui?
Any of the Hawaiian destinations, it says here from, for the airlines that we're talking about, for any of the California gateways will work. So that's pretty
good. Got it. Okay. That's good. Good. I anticipate that that will be more the norm eventually if and when the airlines and in other places decide that they're going to look to have people in at their locations that are vaccinated, got both vaccines and so forth. They'll have an ID, a badge, a wristband or something as they get ready to travel.
You want to travel? You want to travel, you're going to have a vaccination, or you're going to have to be willing to test and prove that you're not infected. I mean, that's just that's the way life is going to be for a while.
All righty, we're wrapping it up here. We're down to the last minute of the Travel Guys for today. Next week on the Travel Guys, Mark?
Next week, we're going to take you over the mountains to Virginia City, which I think is one of the neatest places within a day's drive of Sacramento. So if you're looking for some place to go and stretch out a little bit as the weather warms up, may I suggest Virginia City? We will have the ladies of the Comstock with us as guests next week here on the Travel Guys.
Don't forget now details of all of our special guests at TravelGuysRadio.com. You stay well, my friends. We'll see you next week. Mark?
Dance like nobody's watching. See you next week at 3 o'clock.